Good morning. Welcome to you as we come into the Lord's house. Please do take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle and then pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. And please take a look at the bulletin announcement page. There are several upcoming events and food pantry needs. And gentlemen, please note the Men of Faith Fellowship Group will begin meeting again in August. There is a form inside your bulletin. If you would please sign it and drop it in the offering tray to let us know if you plan to attend. We do need that count for the number of meals to prepare. And I want to give a huge shout out to Kathy Connell, our new Children's and Youth Director, for her work coordinating a one-day vacation Bible school event yesterday. Usually, VBS is a week-long event and opened up to the community at large, but our prep time is limited this year because, well, nobody really knew if or when the coronavirus restrictions would be lifted by summer. But interestingly enough, our single-day event, which was limited to just the kids at Barry, included about as many kids as many of our past VBS events when they were open to the larger community, so we had a great turnout. I would love to say thank you and list the name of each helper, but I'm pretty sure I would inadvertently leave somebody off the list. So I will just say to everyone who made this event possible yesterday, thank you, and maybe give them all a round of applause. All right, thanks everybody. And now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Make them known to us. For you are our God who saves us. We will always trust in you. Let us sing our opening hymn, Come Thou Almighty King. It's hymn number 27. We'll sing all stanzas.
Come Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing, help us to praise one God all glorious, all victorious. Come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come Thou incarnate Word, gird on Thy mighty sword, our prayer attend. Come and Thy people bless, and give Thy word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend. Come, Holy Comforter, Thy sacred witness bear. In this glad hour, Thou who almighty art, now rule in every heart, and ne'er from us depart, Spirit of power. To Thee, Great One in Three, eternal praises be, and evermore Thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Eternal God, we give you our heartfelt thanks for the privilege of hosting Vacation Bible School for our Barry children yesterday. We are also grateful for the privilege to gather as a group of brothers and sisters in Christ. in the safety and comfort of this sanctuary here at Berry Christian Church. O God, we seek the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship service this beautiful day. It is in the name of our Lord and Savior that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the side, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
We confused them this morning. Good morning. What are you doing over there all by yourself? Come over here. Well, so did we have a good time at VBS yesterday? Yeah, they're wearing some of the stuff they got for VBS this morning. She's wearing a scraped knee she got from VBS this morning. So, we would like to let you know that whoever of our children are here for the 11 o'clock, instead of doing this, we're going to have our children do the two songs that they learned at VBS. So if you'd like to stay, we'd love to have you. So through that first part of our second service, they did awesome. Well, today, last week, we learned a little bit about Samson. Yeah, how he was really, really, really strong. Kind of about like what we were talking about in VBS, about how strong and superheroes and things like that. But we also learned that he didn't always like to pay attention and do what he was supposed to do, huh? Not good. Never good to not listen to God. Never. Trust me, never good. Today, we're going to learn that even after all the things that he did wrong, and he asked God to help him one last time, and God gave him really big muscles again and almost super strength, so he could do a task that he wouldn't be able to do without him. That was kind of like our VBS. What did we learn? God gives us
power.
Good job. God gives us
Jesus.
J Jesus gives us
strength.
Good job, guys. You remembered. I'm proud of you. So, are you ready to go down and hear some more about our Samson character guy? Okay, wait a minute. We got to say our prayer. Oh, did you forget? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Thank you for the success of our VBS yesterday. Thank you for each and every person that helped make that possible, whether they were here or just donating items. We praise God for all of the wonderful things that our children bring to this church. We pray that we teach them well, that we listen to your voice, and follow you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this morning, Doris McGee would certainly like for us to keep her family members in prayer over in Germany. Her niece, Marita Schmidt, lost her home and her car, automobiles and the home, and Anita Schmidt, her sister, also has been dealing with concerns and issues regarding all this flooding that's gone on in Germany. So all of your family members are certainly in our prayers. Our sympathy is extended to Ardith Haynes and Cindy and Craig and all the members of their family with the passing of Dave Haynes this past week at the Liberty Hospital. We are still awaiting details regarding a service for Dave. I'm understanding from the family there may be a delay in that just to give Ardith some time to gain greater strength as, you know, she's been striving to recover from the coronavirus herself and has been on oxygen at home for the last couple of weeks. So please keep Ardith in your prayers. Jill Gregory continues to be at the Tiffany Springs Rehabilitation, and Grace Kimmerling is over at the Kansas City Hospice House, and Jean took a fall this past week, and he ended up being at the North Kansas City Hospital. And also want to mention, names fall out of my head, Michelle Jacobo. Michelle had a fall this week, and she also is at North Kansas City Hospital. She has a fracture to the hip and the large bone of her right leg, three fractures in that bone, all from a fall. She was simply trying to take care of feeding, getting some food out to the dogs even before the dogs were out on the back patio, and she fell, resulting in those injuries. So please also keep Michelle in your prayers. She was in a lot of pain yesterday, and, you know, with everything she's had to endure, certainly that's one more hurdle to overcome. Also, we lift up Sharon Gallup as she is recovering from surgery. We also lift up among family members Lynn Fleming's father, Frank, who did really well with the surgery this past week. Pat Reese, the mother of Kelly Jackson, she is going to be going to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester for surgery regarding a mass that is below the lower lobe of the right side of her brain. That's going to be taking place on Tuesday, the 27th of July, and we certainly want to be keeping Pat in our prayers in the midst of that, right? God bless you guys. It's good to see you, Tim and Kelly, back in the back. And also Bonnie Wisdom's sister-in-law, Becky Moore, good process through the surgery this past week, right, Bonnie? We're just praising God for that as she's making a good recovery. Kathy Gorman's mother, Wilma's, in our prayers. Shelly Taylor's husband, Steve Taylor, has discovered that things are looking much better regarding the kidney concerns than originally thinking they might have been. So it looks like good chances for steady progress in the future here. We praise God for that. Edna, we're certainly remembering your sister Kay and your cousin Anna in prayer every day. Dean Chester, the father of Jerry Chester's, in our prayers, as well as Patty Miller's sister Nancy Poos, and Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna Ralston. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Holy God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving for the privilege to assemble for worship this Lord's Day. We give thanks for the opportunity each of us has to be a living witness for the glory of your kingdom's work here on earth, and especially for the privilege to share our faith with our children yesterday during this year's Vacation Bible School Saturday. For as Paul expressed to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me." We rejoice in the experience many of us had with our children for their vibrant and joyful expression of their faith, evidenced by the way they eagerly share songs that they've learned and by the zeal which they recite scripture and learn the stories from the Bible. And we give thanks to the many adults and young people who devoted tireless hours of preparation and then shared with our children as their personal lives became a living witness of their love of God for each child. And Lord God, as we are certainly mindful of the many across the nation, indeed the world, experiencing so many challenging circumstances as a result of the climate concerns that prevail, we just pray for your abiding grace and presence, your healing power, and indeed your resolve for all of us to strive to improve the lot that we are experiencing here in the world. Guide us as your children, for indeed we know your love is great for us. And this is the prayer that we celebrate as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Andrew and Lenora. Thank you. The ability to do our God's bidding and use our gifts and abilities for God's purposes often takes some reminding, some prodding. Thus, this morning's communion hymn asks us, are we able? And in the chorus, we respond, Lord, we are able. Our spirits are thine. Remold them. Make us like thee, divine. Our communion hymn number 621 will sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Are Ye Able, Said the Master.
Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the surly dreamers answered, to the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like thee, divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are ye able, still the Master whispers down eternity, and heroic spirits answered, now as then in Galilee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like thee, divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your loving presence here around this table. We are grateful that by the sacrifice of your Son, we are welcome to join you in this meal. As we partake of the bread and cup, may it serve as a reminder that you loved us so much that you sacrificed your only Son so that we could have eternal life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Malachi, God challenges us to give the full measure of the 10% tithe to God, as God declares in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. With these thoughts in mind, Ken leads us with the word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes, now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I'd like to share with you this morning. This is Judges chapter 16, verses 23 through 30. The Philistine kings met together to celebrate and offer a great sacrifice to their god Dagon. And they sang, "Our God has given us victory over our enemy, Samson." They were enjoying themselves, and so they said, "Call Samson and let us make him entertain us." When they brought Samson out of the prison, they made him entertain them and made him stand between the columns. When the people saw him, they sang praise to their God. "Our God has given us victory over our enemy who devastated our land and killed so many of us." Samson said to the boy who was leading him by the hand, "Lead me through the columns that hold up the building. I want to lean on them." The building was crowded with men and women, and all five Philistine kings were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching Samson entertain them. Then Samson prayed, "Sovereign Lord, please remember me. Please, God, give me the strength just this one more time so that with this one blow I can get even with the Philistines for putting my two eyes out." So Samson took hold of the two middle columns holding up the building. Putting one hand on each column, he pushed against them and shouted, "Let me die with the Philistines." He pushed with all his might, and the building fell down on the five kings and everyone else. And Samson killed more people at his death than he had killed in his life. Boy, that's a grim text, isn't it? But there's a lot to learn from Samson. May we pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to study your word and to indeed be touched by the stories of the scriptures, that they may be a point of inspiration and guide us to live lives of witness to you and for your glory, as we recognize you have given all of us special gifts, talents, abilities to use for your glory and for the benefit of others. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks for the privilege to worship you. Amen. Here we are in this second sermon in this series that I mentioned we're going to be going through, where we are looking at the Israelites and their Philistine neighbors during the period of the judges and the kings in the Old Testament. Because you may recall from last week, I mentioned that, you know, the whole time I was growing up, we never even looked at the Old Testament with my pastor back in those years. He was a New Testament preacher, and that was it. But there is so much to learn in the Old Testament, and we have to understand how our understanding of Jesus is reflected in that great history. We learned last week that Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist in the New Testament, John was, they were set apart even before their birth, and they were called what? You remember? Nazarites. And their purpose was to bring glory to God and to benefit God's people. People in biblical times knew for centuries about the Nazarite vow, in which a person was to be distinguished by not cutting one's hair, refraining from alcoholic beverages, and not touching any deceased animals, and certainly by devoting one's life in prayer, study, and devotion to God, and not necessarily, you know, for a full period of time. Remember, we mentioned that for many Israelite people, that would be for like a period of time, 30 to 100 days. Remember that? And in the early years of the judges, we recognize that Israel was ruled by the Philistines for 40 years. Samson, the first set-apart Nazarite, was to be the Israelites' leader for 20 years, and his intended purpose, as Judges chapter 13, verse 5 tells us, was to begin the work of rescuing Israel from the Philistines. Now, in our modern Western mindset, we have a lot of trouble reading about this period of the Judges. We are troubled by the violence, the warring, and the brutality that takes place here. Yet as we read the Bible, we must step back from our own time and our own values, and we must put ourselves into the values and heritage of that particular period of time in human history. For what we must understand in the Scriptures is that God always relates to people in a particular era of time, using that which is familiar to them in their time. That's why, for example, animal sacrifices, which absolutely make no sense to us today, and give plenty of people reason to discount the Scriptures altogether, or the whole notion of the cross, that's easily discounted by many folks today, because they say, well, that's not the way we are. Well, no, this was their time. God worked in their time, with the circumstances that prevailed in their time. And in the period of the judges, warring tribes overtaking other warring tribes was unfortunately the norm. Strength and might over one's enemies meant survival. Thus, God gave Samson great physical strength, which he was supposed to use to overtake the Philistines and free the Israelites from the Philistine tyranny. And this great strength, we must understand, was granted to Samson by God as a gift, And it was interwoven into that Nazarite characteristic of long hair. And of course, he had what was considered the seven locks of uncut hair. Yet as we read Judges chapter 13 through 16, and by the way, sometime this afternoon, you know, you can read those chapters in the commercials of whatever it is that you're watching later today or, you know, sometime this week. Read chapters 13 through 16 of Judges, and you'll get the whole story about Samson. But let me unpack it for you before you do that. What we have to understand is that in these chapters, we discover that what Samson did was he failed. And what is unique about the Bible as compared to many other ancient books written during the time that the scriptures were written is that the Bible doesn't sugarcoat anything. The Bible tells about the failures as well as the successes. And by the way, it's the only culture of that era of time when the scriptures were written where nations or groups of people would go to the trouble. You know, when they wrote, it was a lot of work. And they weren't going to tell the bad stories or the stories of failure. They only told the glorious stories. The scriptures of God are very unique in that we hear about the failures as well as the successes, which goes to show us God is interested in our humanity and not sugarcoating our humanity, but telling it like it is. So the generations beyond will do what? Learn. But Samson failed because he ignored the purpose of his God-given strength. He ignored his Nazarite distinction and even compromised the distinctive qualities of what it meant to be an Israelite, as he chose instead to mingle with their very enemy, the Philistines. Samson squandered his strength on impulsive whims, all centered around satisfying his own passions and personal pleasure. Now, what we have to understand is that Samson's failure was his own fault. It was not the fault of his parents. Judges 13 reveals that Samson's parents, Manoah and the unnamed wife, were truly devout, God-fearing Israelites. And these parents' sincere dedication to God was revealed in the careful way that Manoah sought confirmation by requesting a second visit and further instruction from the Lord's angel, and by the offering of a young goat and grain offering after the confirmation was made. That's all in Judges 13. And even as Samson's parents told him of his Nazarite distinction and the purpose of his strength, Judges 14 revealed that Samson's arrogance was truly intact as he ignored his father's advice and wanted to marry a Philistine woman. Samson berated his father's authority as he declared to his father in Judges 14, "There is this Philistine girl down in Timnah who caught my attention. Get her for me. I want to marry her." Huh? Now, you have to understand the culture of this time. Children did not tell their parents what to do, and certainly not the patriarchal father. The patriarchal father was all authority. And yet, here this father's dealing with this big hulk of a guy for a son who has obviously some incredible strength. But what is Samson doing? He's getting hold of that strength and he's saying, "By golly, I'm the quarterback or I'm the lineman. You're not going to tell me what to do." Right? Here Samson thinks he's big stuff. And even as his father tried to persuade him otherwise, Samson responded by saying in the third verse of 14th chapter, "She is the one I want. You get her for me. I like her." Samson's heart and mind was easily swayed by the allure of the Philistine ways, even though they worshiped three man-made gods rather than the one true God of the Israelites. And Samson exploited the value of his great strength simply to satisfy his own carnal interests in order to get revenge for anything he saw as a wrongdoing against the nation? No. A wrongdoing against himself. Just for fun, he tore a young lion apart. And when the Philistine men at Samson's wedding party got Samson's Philistine wife to help them answer Samson's riddle, Samson killed 30 other Philistine men simply to rob them of their goods so he could pay those men of the wedding party for the fact that they'd answered the riddle. Later, when Samson's Philistine father-in-law gave Samson's wife to another man, Samson took revenge. He captured 300 foxes, tied their tails together, lit torches with those fox tails, and set them loose on the Philistine wheat fields and stores, destroying a primary source of food for probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people. This led to revenge on the part of the Philistines, who persuaded some Israelites to tie Samson with new ropes and bring him to them. And Samson used his great God-given strength to break free from the ropes, and with the jawbone of a donkey, Samson slew 1,000 men. Now, what we don't know in Scripture is whether those 1,000 men were Philistine or if they were Philistine and Israelite, both. What we do know, it was just an act of chaos. With his vanity and lust still well intact, Samson got mixed up with a prostitute in Gaza. And realizing the people of the city wanted to capture him, he snuck away from their watch. And on his way out of the city, he used his God-given strength to take hold of the city gates, and he tore them out of the walls. And the scripture says that he took the doors, the posts, the lock, and all, and he hoisted them on his shoulders and carried them off to a prominent hilltop just for the benefit of bragging rights. Then Samson started hanging out with the prostitute Delilah, who was quite accommodating to her Philistine kinsmen as she nagged and pestered Samson until finally he told her the secret of his great God-given strength: those 7 locks of uncut hair. Samson's life, you see, was filled with prideful antics and abuse of the great God-given strength that was supposed to be used to free the Israelites from the tyranny of the Philistines. And in this morning's scripture reading, Judges 16, it describes the 5 Philistine kings gloating over the captured, beaten-down Samson, so weakened that he is being led by the kings from the prison by a young boy. And the gloating Philistine kings celebrated by making a great offering to their god Dagon. And the Philistine kings and their people gathered in the temple of Dagon with great fanfare, and thousands of Philistines were there to witness the once mighty and now beleaguered Samson. Samson was called from the prison to the temple and instructed to entertain the king and the kings and their subjects. And it was only then, in this state of absolute destitution, that Samson finally had the wherewithal to express some level of repentance and to call to God, the God of the Israelites, for help. Samson prayed, "Sovereign Lord, please remember me. Please, God, give me my strength just this one more time, so that with this one blow I can get even with the Philistines for putting my eyes out." So what's he still concerned about? What's he upset about? That he got his eyes put out. Still so self-centered. Still not getting it that he had been called as a Nazirite to be the leader to get the Israelite people freed from Philistine tyranny. And as verse 29 in Judges 16 tells us, Samson took hold of the 2 middle columns, holding up the building and putting one hand on each column, he pushed against them and shouted, "Let me die with the Philistines." And Samson pushed with all his might, and the building fell down. 5 kings and everyone else perished. And of course, the ending is Samson killed more people at his death than he killed in his lifetime. Again, remember, it's a brutal, brutal, warring time period here in human history. Yet we have to understand that Samson's death was a hollow victory for the Israelites, because they still remained subjects of the Philistines. Their chance to be freed from Philistine tyranny was lost because Samson ignored his Nazarite distinction. Samson flaunted and used his great God-given strength only for his own pleasure and folly. Palestine remained a warring tribal backwater trade route, as the ways of the Philistines still held their grip because Samson failed. So what are we to learn from this rather tragic failure on the part of Samson? Well, first of all, let us be mindful that like Samson, we as believers in Christ, we are set apart. We are distinctive from the world. Let us be mindful that like Samson, we possess great God-given gifts that are intended for the glory of God's purposes and for the benefit of others. And let us be mindful that like Samson, God gives us free will. How we approach our distinctiveness and how we use our God-given gifts is still of our own choosing. And our world, what we must understand, could be freed from many injustices and states of tyranny if more and more and more believers put aside self-centered impulses and selfish desires and instead chose to use God-given gifts for God's purposes. Right? You know, the truth of the matter is that the world is a much better place because of Christianity. The rights, privileges, freedoms that we possess are a consequence of the heritage of our Christian values. But it could be much better if more and more and more people, nationwide, worldwide, were influenced by the ways of Christ, right? That's why the sign outside, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, gifts from God. The text, as each has received a gift to serve one another, use them to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so I ask you again, do you believe with all your heart that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? I extend the invitation for you to do so this morning, or I extend the invitation for you to become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 632. We're going to sing all stanzas of Lead On, O King Eternal.
Lead on, O King Eternal, thy day of march has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of surly drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King eternal, we follow not with fears. For gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
The sanctuary has been set up the way it is today because we're celebrating the baptism of Nicole Vineyard, or excuse me, Renee Vineyard, Nicole Renee Vineyard, excuse me. And Nicole is now a part of our church family as she came forward this last Sunday and made her confession of faith, and we are so delighted that she has done so. She is the granddaughter of Susan Hanks, and Nicole's children have also been attending worship, and we're so grateful for that. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and for that we give thanks. Guide us today and always, as we know your Spirit gives us the privilege to be living witnesses in what we do and say. It's in Christ's name that we seek your presence day by day. Amen.
Strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.